Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience, and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The guides tell us there's a big difference between thinking and knowing, and today we're going to explore and discover through body, mind, and spirit. This is Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on Om Times Radio. Just want to thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Inspired Living Radio every Wisdom Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. I am your co-host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector here in Seattle, Washington. And again, thank you so much for taking the time just to hang out with us. The goal of the show is to get you on a path of being inspired, education, knowledge, wisdom, and eventually enlightenment. So all across the country, all the way over in Richmond, Virginia, is my lovely co-host, Kim Falcon, founder of Love First. Hi, Kim.
Hey, Mark. How's it going? Everybody survive the eclipse there?
Oh, man. Wasn't that just a fantastic day, though, just to see everybody come together and look up and realize that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves, right?
Yeah, that is the truth. It was kind of a collective energy just across the country, all over the place, everybody talking about this one thing, and it was nice. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, I saw it was a beautiful picture. I actually saw a couple that actually got married right at the path. They were in the path of totality. So right during the full eclipse, they had their wedding pictures taken, and it was just spectacular. So how would you like to have that for a wedding picture?
Yeah, and the energy that comes along with it. So it was good. We got a great show ahead of us today, Mark.
And, we do. I'm very excited.
I am too. I could feel the energy building as we're leading up to the show. I've gotten a couple of personal messages from people who are excited about it or reading the book now, have readings booked with our guest today coming up. So, it's going to be a good show. Just real quickly, I do have a couple of announcements I'd like to share with our audience. Of course, if you'd like to learn more about the work that I'm doing, you can find me at lovefirst.info. If there's anything that I can do to help you in the way of readings or healings or hypnotherapy, please do reach out to me. I absolutely love the work that I do and the people that I get to work with. But I will be working at the Alchemist Bookstore this Friday, all day pretty much from noon to 6. So if you'd like to come by and introduce yourself, it's the Alchemist Bookstore at the Stony Point Fashion Center in Richmond, Virginia. Please do. It's a really beautiful shop with a lot of really nice gifts for the soul. And I also want to give a shout out to Awareness Magazine, which is a local magazine here in actually in Virginia, out of Charlottesville, who is doing a psychic profile on the work that I'm doing here in their October issue. So I'll be sure to post that issue. But it's a really interesting magazine. It's just so great when people, you know, are in this line of work and they're sharing all the beautiful spiritual communities and gatherings and stuff that are in the local area. So I just want to give a nice shout out to Awareness Magazine. And if you'd like to follow us on social media or interact with us, there's just so many places that you can do that with. Of course, under Facebook, under Inspired Living Radio, Instagram, under Inspired for Us, Google Plus, Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. And if you want to call in live to the show today, you can do that as well at area code 202-570-7057. I just want to just make a brief announcement on that. While we welcome calls and we look forward to anybody who wants to engage with us today, because we do have a fascinating guest today and the book we're going to be talking about holds a lot of wisdom, please do so. We won't be doing any live readings today or necessarily on the spot live channeling through our guests, unless that just is a natural unfoldment. But if you've got questions about the book or just about the wisdom, we'd love to hear from you. You can also listen to all of our archives on Om Times Radio, Podbean, SoundCloud, MarkLanehart.com, LoveFirst.info, YouTube, and iTunes. And every month, as you know, we do have an inspired affirmation for the month. And this month, the month of August, is I don't have to be anyone but myself. Who I am is enough. Back to you, Mark.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, I hope that we get some calls and our Inspired listeners that are listening all around the world. Thank you again so much for joining us. Also want to point out that we have our interactive Inspired Living Radio map on our Facebook page. So if you join the page, make sure to click out click on the map so you can put a little pin where you're at in the world. We're trying to get a visual of all of our listeners all around the world. And if you want to find out about the work I'm doing here in Seattle, Washington, please visit MarkLanehart.com. You can internet search The Intuitive Prospector. And the only thing I have coming up, Kim, before I go on vacation is I have a class tomorrow, which is on the Om Times Institute. And it's going to be Spiritual ABCs Level 3, where we will focus on the C's, which is spiritual consciousness and connectivity to the spirit world. So you can get all the information at MarkLanehart.com. And then I am off to Europe. I only have one more show, Kim, and then you're going to hold down the fort for the month of September.
Oh boy, we'll do it, Mark. Let's do it. I'm gonna do it.
You can do it. I know you can do it. All right. So I've been looking forward to this guest for a long time. I've followed his work. I've read his books. Very honored to have him on the show today. A little bit more about Paul Selig in his breakthrough works of channeled literature. He's an author and a medium, and he's recorded an extraordinary program for personal and planetary evolution, which we definitely need at this point. Paul was born in New York City and received his master's degree from Yale. He had a spiritual experience in 1987 that left him clairvoyant. As a way to gain a context for what he was beginning to experience, he studied a form of energy healing, working at Marianne Williams Manhattan Center for Living in his own private practice. In the process, he began to hear for his clients, and much of Paul's work now is as a clairaudient, a clairvoyant, a channel, and an empath. Paul has led channeled energy groups for many years and published his first book of channeled learnings, I Am the Word, in 2010. Paul's unique abilities have been featured on ABC News Nightline, Fox News, a biography channel series, The Unexplained, Gaia TV's Beyond Belief, and the documentary film Paul and the World. He has appeared on numerous radio shows and podcasts, including Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, which I love, and Bob Olson's Afterlife TV, which, Kim, you and I know Bob Olson, being a part of the Bob Olson Best Psychic Directory. Paul offers channel workshops internationally, and he serves on the faculty of the Omega Institute, Great Institute, the Kripalu Center, and the Esalen Institute. Also a noted playwright and educator, he served on the faculty of NYU for over 25 years, and he directed the MFA in creative writing program at Goddard College for many years. He now serves on the college board of trustees. He lives in New York City, where he maintains a private practice as an intuitive and conducts frequent live stream seminars. I've seen them. Paul Selig, welcome to Inspired Living Radio. It's awesome to have you here.
Welcome, Paul.
Thanks for having me. Thank you both.
Yeah, so many questions. I had listened to a former episode on Coast to Coast, and you had a two-part series talking about your new book, which is pretty much a trilogy, I guess, the Master Trilogy, Book 2, The Book of Truth, and you wrote this in 2016. Just for the inspired listening audience, kind of just give a little bit more insight to what inspired you to write this book. What is channeling? What is channeling? What is channeled literature for somebody that doesn't know that term? And just kind of introduce yourself to the global audience of inspired listeners.
Well, you know, I think the first thing to say is that I didn't write the book, you know, and I haven't written any of the books. There are now 5 in print. They're all channeled texts, which means I'm sitting in a chair with my eyes closed, and the guides that I work with, you can call them spirit guides, it's a collective consciousness that seems to work with me, gives me the information, and the books are actually the transcripts of a verbal dictation. So all of these books are really the unedited transcripts of channeling sessions that were, you know, have been typed up and bound with no editing. So I didn't plan to write any of them. In fact, I never thought I would write a channel book or channel a book because I wasn't somebody that necessarily believed all that much in channeling, you know, way back when. But this is what's happened. So I'm available for this transmission that comes through, and the guides that I work with are teachers, and they teach in book form. The books are energetic attunements that the guides say are working directly with the reader to support them in aligning their frequency or consciousness or vibration, I suppose, whatever you want to call it, to a higher level, and in a way that's really usually very palpable for people, and they're doing this as well in workshops, you know, around the country and elsewhere.
Well, I have to say, Paul, I follow your work, and I always love your postings of you on the airplane, another airplane ride to wherever you're going. Yeah. You sitting in a seat, and so I always get a kick out of that. So we're going to be going to our very first break here, and then we'll come back, and I want to dive into the Book of Truth, and just stick around. We'll be back in 2 minutes with our very special guest, Paul Selig, here on Inspired Living Radio.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
Aloha, my name is Jennifer O'Neill, and I'd like to invite you to come join me every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time for my show, Spirit Chat. Spirit Chat focuses on simplifying the process of using the spiritual tools and gifts you were born with in a way that fits into your everyday life. I also teach different techniques that will help you learn how to navigate the spirit realm and empower you on your own spiritual journey. So join me this Wednesday as I guide you through the spirit world.
There are many sounds in your daily life, ones that make you smile, ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts, brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on Om Times Radio, the voice of consciousness. Our very special guest today, Paul Selig, with his book, The Book of Truth, A Channeled Text. Right before the break, Paul, I was going to ask you, because I'm curious, because we share a similar background in the fact that you received your master's degree from Yale, which is tremendous, and then you had a spiritual experience in 1987 that left you clairvoyant. Very similar to my path, graduate degree from the University of Washington, and then had a spiritual, what I like to say, a shakening that causes awakening. Just curious how that transition from the world of academics and teaching at a college going into the metaphysical world, the spiritual world, the psychic world, the mediumship world, what kind of transition was that for you?
Well, you know, the experience that you described happened when I was 25 years old, and I was a year out of graduate school, and then I became an academic, and I taught for 25 years at NYU and ran a graduate program elsewhere. But I was doing my own work quietly. I was doing a group that met in my apartment every week for about 18 years, and I wasn't looking to be known for this work. I had a small practice initially doing energy healing, and gradually people started showing up wanting to talk to the guides that were working with me, and that's how my practice as a psychic came about. You know, the channeling was something that I was doing while an academic. I just wasn't spending too much time talking about it, and what happened was it became so time-consuming, and I was flying around so much that it became inevitable that I leave to focus on this work. So the transition wasn't that hard. I think I was more concerned at NYU that people would find out, but, you know, once I began channeling books, my students were Googling me anyway, and there was plenty of video of me channeling up on YouTube, so they knew, and they were being polite and not really talking much about it because I wasn't bringing it up. So I loved that part of my life. It was a very good part of my life, and there are days I quite miss it. I love what I do now as well, but that had been my life for really a quarter of a century.
Yeah, and it's amazing work, and it's an amazing book. If folks want to check out this book, whether in hard copy or digital version, what's the best place for them to go check this out right now if they're listening to the show live?
Well, I mean, you can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. You can go to my site, which is my name, paulselig.com, and the links are there to the online retailers. But it's in the bookstores, so they're not hard to find.
Awesome. Yeah, so the book came out on June 6th of this year, and you wrote – well, I guess I should stop saying that you wrote it. You're the author of it, but it's a channeled text, so you pretty much channeled everything, and everything was recorded and then put into paper format. But you did this in 2016. And then you've had several other books, too, that you've done. The I Am the Word, Book of Love and Creation, all, you know, channeled text. Did you see – where was this – I guess I'm just trying to figure out where did this idea – did the idea come from your guides? How do you write a channeled text book, or how do you even get down that road of wanting to put this into a book format, I guess?
I had nothing to do with it, you know. I really didn't. I had been a playwright. I had terrible blocks. I got fired from a gig, and I went to bed, and a colleague of mine in academia said, Paul, maybe this would be a good time for you to write a memoir about how you became clairaudient, and I had no desire to do it. As I was saying no, the guides that I work with piped in and said, no, we have a book to write, and if you take 2 weeks, we'll do it. So I Am the Word, the first book, took 2.5 weeks. I took 2 days off to go teach of sittings that were then transcribed, and there are now 5 books in print. None of them have taken more than 30 days, I think, of sittings. And again, these are the unedited transcripts, and the books come through in book form, you know, chapter and verse. So there was no intention to begin this. I actually agreed to do the first one because I didn't really think it could happen. But at that moment in my life, my ego had just been squashed. I didn't really care. I had the time. And I thought, okay, if they want to see this, let's see what happens. And it changed my life, certainly. The agreement to show up for this work has been my part of the deal. And I continue to show up for this work often when I'd prefer not to. They began dictating a new book about 3 weeks ago, and I was surprised because I thought I had more time before they began the next one. But I was doing a workshop in New York City, and they dictated what they said was the introduction to the next book, and they haven't stopped. They did 80 pages or 90 pages or so in front of students in a retreat in Boone, North Carolina last week. So I feel like this whole new book is going to be, you know, dictated publicly, and it's being filmed, which is really quite interesting. So there'll be a visual log of this whole thing. But no, there was no planning. I don't know that one decides to write a channeled book. If I decided to do this, right, I don't think it would be my book. I agree to show up for the sessions. That's my part. I agree. When the guide said we want to do a trilogy, I said, okay, you know, and then it's a trilogy. I mean, I know at least what my work was cut out for this last time. I knew that there would be three books, and there have been. But after when they delivered the first book, they said this is a trilogy, and they delivered two more books in quick succession. So I'm participatory. I'm the medium for the transmission. I used to type them myself. Now I don't even have to do that. There's a wonderful woman who's spells much better than I ever will, who's, you know, taking on the responsibility of doing this. And the good news is now I get to read it, because before I didn't even really want to see it. I was so busy typing it and so tired of hearing my own voice on the recorder. So it's an odd process. I don't know that one decides to do this. Occasionally I meet people and they say, well, I'd like to channel a book, or I'm going to channel a book. And I go, who decides that? You know, This is really the guides. It's their book. My name is on the cover. I'm participatory to this. But I don't claim authorship, nor do I feel that sense of pride that one has when one has written a book. I'm relieved when the whole book gets done and that it coheres, because they all do cohere as books, which is astonishing to me, since, you know, there's no plan. I don't know what the chapter is going to be or the next sentence is going to be until it comes out of my mouth. And that's the way it's been for all of these things. I don't know where it's going. I just know that it is going, and I am there to be present for whatever the transmission is.
Sure, and there's a sense of agreement and trust there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quick question for you, Paul. With the guides or the collective consciousness that you are working with, does there seem to be like a running theme of messages that they want to get out, or do the topics just range all over the place, or are there foundational principles that they want to
There's an agenda here. I mean, they've been coming. They've been enormously consistent from book to book. They're talking about the realization and embodiment of the divine self, or the true self, as who and what we are. It's reclaiming the true self and manifestation. You know, they say that we've basically forgotten who we are. We've been duped to believe that we're this personality structure, that the conflicts that we're engaging in are really a direct result in our belief that we're separate from our source. So consequently, we must be separate from everyone and everything else. And this is really a process of realignment. And it's really been sequential. And they really are now working on the body and the integration of the divine self, is what they call it, the true self, or the divine self in form as who and what you are. And there's a lot of physical manifestation that seems to accompany these teachings. If you go to the reviews on Amazon, people are, you know, saying, you know, I'm reading the book, my body's vibrating, I'm reading the book, and I'm seeing auras. I mean, that's what they said would happen when they were dictating this, that they'd be working directly with the readers to support them in their own acclimation to this sort of higher consciousness. And it seems that that's what they're doing. So they're really not all over the map. They'll embrace different subjects, as part of a teaching, and each book seems to have its own primary focus, but each book seems to be a building block towards this sort of end game that they have with us about our own ability to realize, which they say means know, K-N-O-W, who we truly are and have always been.
What? How do they, what is their view, or how do they do that with people who are atheists or who are struggling with, you know, either just flat out
Sure.
don't believe there's a source or, yeah.
Well, I was raised an atheist, so I'm, you know, a good example of this. I mean, it took me having an experience first of sort of being driven to my knees, but then getting an answer and then starting to open up clairvoyantly to phenomena that I really couldn't talk away or talk myself out of to get me on board. So the guides are pretty clear on this. I mean, it's not a religious teaching in the least. It's a spiritual teaching. But the idea that we're more than our bodies and more than, you know, our status in our society or our gender or our bank accounts or our education, I think we can all get behind that. So if we are more than those things, what is the more? And the more is the true self or the spiritual self or the eternal self. And that's what the guides are addressing here. So it's completely non-denominational, though their language is rooted quite clearly in the Judeo-Christian context or, you know, history. It's just how they speak. But they unpack the meaning of those words to make them applicable to us in ways that are not being used by organized religion at present. They speak of the Christ as the aspect of the divine that's present in all of us, that seeks to realize itself in form, you know, and they speak of the true self as the eternal self, the aspect of you that's always here, regardless of form or personality, and knows its relationship to its source. So in some ways, they're supporting us in getting rid of some of the baggage that keeps us stuck and in this place of separation by reminding us of what's always true and has always been true.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I know that one of the things that keeps us stuck and that you talk about in the book or that they address is the freedom that we can experience through forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an important thing, but what happens? Like I had a reading with a client the other day who there were, you know, some real people in her life that situations, experiences, mm-hmm. we talked through where there was forgiveness that was needed. And she just flat mm-hmm. out, I am not ready to forgive.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stay angry, but I'm not ready to forgive. What happens then? I mean, that can really hold us in a place of feeling stuck. Just hold that thought, Paul. We're going to continue our conversation when we come back from break in about 2 minutes. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. Sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
And welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim and our special guest, Paul Selig, today as we talk about all of his channeled work and some of the wisdom that his guidance has brought forth. So before we went to break, Paul, you were talking about, or I'd asked you about forgiveness. Some people have a real struggle with that. They hold on to that for a long time, and they'll flat out just say, I am not ready to forgive, or they don't know how to. So I guess, what kind of guidance would you give to somebody like that based on the wisdom that has come through for you?
Well, I mean, the easiest way to begin to move this, I think, is to be willing to forgive somebody else for not being who we wanted them to be. So if I've been betrayed, I'm angry at having been betrayed. But, you know, really, I wanted that person to be someone who would not betray me. And my willingness to forgive the person for not being who I wanted them to be is really the first step in letting them off the hook and consequently myself. I mean, the idea, I think, that's misunderstood is that we're forgiving other people and giving them a free pass. And I don't think that's really the point of this. The guys that I work with say, you cannot be the light and hold another in darkness. And they say, what you put in darkness calls you to it. So in the last book that they wrote, the second to last, the Book of Mastery, there's an exercise where they invite you to go into a cave and they say, okay, and here in this cave is the one person you never want to see again as long as you live. And your action now is to lead this person out of the cave. You see, because in leading that person out of the cave, you're liberating yourself from the darkness that you've put yourself in with them. And it's a real simple teaching. So the idea that, and I understand the idea that if I forgive too soon, I can stay a victim. And I understand this. I think we have to have our own experience of our emotional responses. I mean, the guides are the first one to say, if somebody steps on your foot, you say, please don't step on my foot. And after the third time, you say, get the hell off my foot. You know, but what I don't have to do is attach to that person energetically. Because, you know, that's not going to be a person who's going to listen to me and do what I think they should do. And I can forgive them for that much. I don't have to be in agreement with them. And by agreement, that means vibrational accord. So the idea of forgiveness really is to liberate ourselves. It's not about doing somebody else a favor, although everybody benefits from this, truthfully. They really do.
I love that. It just seems like whenever you hear, you know, whenever there's a wisdom that comes through, it always points us right back to ourselves. And I think you just said something really important, is that it's about liberating ourselves. And just as you say that, it feels freeing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about them. It's about liberating ourselves. Doesn't it, Mark? I mean, I feel good just saying it. Liberating myself. So I think that I love that. I love that exercise that you gave, because I don't know, there's just something that feels really nice about it, and it seems doable. You know, it's not something that is, because one of my questions is, well, gosh, well, how do you do that? If you're really fighting forgiving someone, is that this, is there an easy way of doing it, or does it just take years of therapy before you get there? But based on what you've just said and how you understand it, and also what feels really good to me as I listen to it, is that it's a, more of a simple process than not, and that exercise sounds like a very healing one. So, Mark, did you have something you want to share on that too? I heard a little chuckle on your end.
No, it just, I was in totally agreement energetically. It just felt, you know, very liberating to that exercise, to go into the cave and come out as, you know, being liberated. So I was agreeing with you energetically.
And, you know, as we talk, one of the things that you talk about too, and of course in this, and I believe in this most recent book, one of the greatest things you're talking about too is cultivating healthy relationships. So as we move, you know, from a state of forgiveness or just being able to free ourselves from what's been holding us back or just what doesn't serve us, how do we go about cultivating healthy relationships with others? Love is, I don't know about you, Paul, but for me, I mean, that's one of the main questions that come up in mm-hmm. sessions with clients. Everybody wants to talk about love because it's so important. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants beautiful relationships. It doesn't even have to be romantic. It'd be with our you know, our family members or our coworkers or mm-hmm. friendships. So how do we cultivate healthy relationships?
Well, and the guides talk about this perhaps a little bit differently. I mean, they talk about knowing who somebody is in truth, not as we want them to be. So, you know, if my idea of a healthy relationship is bound by what somebody should look like, how I should be treated, what kind of money they should make, what religion they may have, I mean, all of that emblemization that we attach to what we should have or what we should be like ourselves, we're going to be falling short, and we're going to be sort of replaying out some inherited script about what I should be, what you should be, and what our relationship perhaps should look like based on some historical narrative. The guides speak to this a little bit differently. They use a claim, I know who I am in truth, I know what I am in truth, I know how I serve in truth. They're inviting us to re-identify with the true self, not the personality structure that's frayed or confused or is unable to forgive, but the eternal self that they say is present in all of us. And they invite us to focus on the true self of everyone we meet. You know, witness the divinity. They say God, or whatever you want to call God, God sees God in everything. You know, you can, again, you can't hold the light, and you can't be the light and hold another in darkness. So my realization of who another is beyond my prescriptions for who I think they should be, which are always really based in ego, is what liberates me to have a higher level of communication and perhaps communion with people in my life.
So how would that, that's very interesting, but like how, you know, you hear a lot of people out there when they talk about manifesting, well, you have to mm-hmm. set your intentions and you have to draw, you have to come, you know, sit down and write out a list of all the things you want in someone, and that's how you manifest. Mm-hmm. So how does that?
Yeah, but if you listen to that, what you're doing is you're creating a list based on the expectations of what you were taught to want. And that's the problem here. Do you understand? So if my ideal partner looks a certain way, has a certain amount in the bank, and that's what I think I should have, I have to question why I want those things. Do I want those things because that's what everybody should want? The guides I work with say, you know, there's nothing wrong with a house on the hill. Somebody gets to live there. But why do you want it? If you want the house on the hill so that you can be the envy of your neighbors, you're creating in fear. If I decide that I want a partner 20 years my junior so that I'm going to look better when I go out, I'm probably creating in fear too. It has very little to do with the identity and the truth of who that human being is. So much of the list making, I think, is born in an agreement to cosmetics. It's nothing wrong. If you have three kids and you want to go buy a house, you know how many bedrooms you probably need. And you want to look for something with a good school district and something in your price range. Those are all things that, you know, can be claimed and should be. I can say I want a healthy relationship with someone that I value and who values me, who I'm physically attracted to and is attracted to me, and who I share common interests with. I think these are all fine. But what I understand a lot of people do with these specific lists is they become an outline that seeks to be filled in. You know, and I think that that's where we end up pretty much ascribing to what we were told that we should want. And I think that we culturally have to look at that, because I think if we look at what we're all being asked to aspire to in this country, much of the time it's to, you know, more money, better career, more beautiful partners or whatever. And I don't think that that's true. You know, 20 years ago, I would put money on the fact that people who do what we do weren't getting questions about what is my true purpose, assuming that that's their career. You know, a career is used to be your job. It used to be what you did for a living and what you cared about. Now everybody's supposed to have a career. And, you know, I don't know where that came from, but it's collective think. Do you understand? People are rarely coming to me saying, how do I be a better person and realize myself more fully in my life? Do you understand the difference? So that's me and my opinions, and forgive me for them.
No, Mark, I didn't want to interrupt you. I didn't know if you were going to come on, but I think that's absolutely right. But just in my experience, Paul, I mean, it feels like you got to do some work on yourself first before you can get to that truthful and what would be the best partner for you, right? I mean, because a lot of people aren't there yet. They're saying exactly what it is we're talking about, the certain
careers, and that's why they're not happy. And they're not happy.
That's right.
Nobody's going to get that. I mean, honestly, I had the partner that I thought looked exactly like my partner should look, and the whole list, and we didn't get along very well, truthfully. I learned a lot from that. I think the idea here, and this is what my guides say, is that the true self knows, the small self thinks. When you begin to align to the true self, what you call to yourself is what you truly need, what will truly bring you the most joy or the most learning, not your idea of what that should be. And I think as long as we're trying to grab the things that we think we should have in order to make us happy, we may actually kind of miss the boat. So I understand that for some people, the idea of manifesting, which is very exciting, and we do manifest, I'm in complete agreement with that, but this is all co-resonance. And we're manifesting the good and the not so good all the time. And there's nothing wrong with having abundance. I'm all for it. But I also understand that there are things that one learns through lack, you know, that can be highly instructive and beneficial in one's evolution. I learned about the law of abundance when I was poor. It had to prove itself out. My poverty was a great teacher for me. You know, I know people that learn the value of life through their experience with illness. And I don't think we have to make illness bad or poverty bad or assume that people aren't doing something right. I think we're all here to learn. We're all here to have an experience of being human and divine on this plane.
That's right. And oftentimes being on the spiritual path, and with my experience, is that you're sometimes stripped away of things that you thought were the right things for you. and there's learning in that, just like you said. We're heading into break now. We'll be back in 2 minutes with our special guest, Paul Selig. Stay with us.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. Our very, very special guest, Paul Selig, talking about his new channeled text. I keep wanting to say author of the book, Paul, but the channeled text, the Book of Truth. And right before the break, Paul, you were talking about being human and the divinity of a combination. And I just wanted to kind of pick that back up and carry on with that conversation here in the last section of the show and what you meant by that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that, I know what my guides say. I'm no expert. I'm no guru. I'm not a spiritual teacher. I'm this guy that takes this dictation. But what I've come to learn is that this is school, and we're here to learn, and we're here to grow and evolve. Mm-hmm. And that there's an aspect of us that is in complete awareness of its true nature, which is what the guides call the true self or the divine self. And they say that the divine self is here to be realized as and through us. That's our birthright. That's the gift of being. So anything that we experience can be learned through. The guides say again and again, you can't be a master and a victim at the same time. And if I'm aware of the opportunity for growth or learning in any situation, I can move beyond it. But the divinity that is who we truly are is the essence of the claim. I know who I am in truth. I know what I am in truth. And I know how I serve in truth, which means how we're most fully expressed is who we truly are. And the guides say, in truth and in the vibration of truth, a lie cannot be held. And what is a lie but that we're our bank accounts or our looks or our age or, our religion or our gender? Those are ways we know, they're ways that we know ourselves, but that's not who we are and who anybody else is. When we begin to address ourselves as who we truly are, we can begin to address everyone else. And then hopefully we'll stop, killing each other and creating wars because, you don't kill what you know to be holy. You just don't.
Yeah, powerful. And for our listening audience, some of them may be asking, what do you mean by the guides? Are these in your definition of your guides, are these folks that are in the spirit world that you once knew in the physical world and now guide you from the spiritual world? I can just feel that energy. What is a guide?
Well, there's different levels of guides. I call them the guides because my ex, when my ex found out I was psychic, used to say, ask the guides this, ask the guides that. That's why they're called the guides. My guides are teachers. They're not, my grandfather or somebody that I was friends with who since crossed over. These are guys, they're operating at a higher level. The term that they've used has been Ascended Masters or Melchizedek as a name. They say, if you want to call us something, you can call us this. I don't think the name matters. It's a collective energy that's really here to support us and humanity as a whole in our evolution towards a reclamation of our own true nature, which they say is far greater than what we've been claiming as, personalities.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think I love that you teach on energy, and I know you talk about being a radio and tuning in. And I always think of Nikola Tesla's, quote, talking about unlocking the secrets of the universe and thinking in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Mm-hmm. I have to say, reading the book, though, at times your relationship with your guides, there's what I like about your work, Paul, and why I'm drawn to your work is that same skeptical mind, that skepticism, you know, almost of that interruption of the guides when you're doing the dictations or the readings. Can you just kind of speak to that, the relationship with your guides and having that skeptical mindset as well?
Well, I mean, I'm not opposed to healthy skepticism, and what you're referencing with the guides isn't so much skepticism; it's my sort of accountability to what's happening. So I'm taking dictation, and literally the books are dictation. I'm hearing phrase after phrase after phrase without knowing where the chapter is going, or even, you know, what the next idea will be. No idea at all. But occasionally I will hear something that they say that I'll go, "Hey, wait a minute. That doesn't feel right," or "I question this." And because I am a collaborator at this level, the words are coming through me as they're being spoken, they will stop and address the question. They'll say, "Paul has a question," or "Paul is interrupting." Mm-hmm. And then they will explain their meaning in such a way as to be able to move on. Once in a while, they'll say, "Paul has a question. We will take it up later." And then they always do. But that's the nature of this relationship. Although I'm not the author, my name is on the cover, and I really don't want to be participatory to something that would be confusing or harmful or, you know, any of those things. I have no desire for that at all. So I feel like if I'm confused, somebody else may be confused as well, and then I do ask for the clarification, and they've been very generous in how they brought it through.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, intriguing read. I was always chuckling when they'd always say, period, period, period. There was this stop, let's stop, period, 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 three times. So I found myself smiling with that. So in the book, the guides talk a lot about service, Paul. What do they mean by this? And especially in this day and age, in this chaotic world that we live in, and about being in service.
Well, the guides say that how we serve is how we're most fully expressed as the true self, the God within, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't really matter to them. It doesn't matter to me. But, you know, I know how I serve is a claim that they make. And they say, you know, the one who says that is the true self. The true self knows how he serves. Now, in our community, people think that means I'm going to go off and be a Reiki master. I'm going to go take another workshop and get certified in this or that. And it can be that. But frankly, how we serve, how anybody serves, is how they are most fully expressed as their true self. In the Book of Mastery, there was a woman who included a Q&A or two from the live streams that I do when the guides were dictating portions of the book before those students. And a woman said, you know, "I'm a school bus driver, and I bless the kids when they get on the bus every morning, and I'm sending the word through them, and, you know, but how do I serve?" And, you know, the guides pretty much said, "Well, you're doing it. You know, your realization of these kids is, of their true self, is supporting them in ways you don't even see and know." So the idea that it needs to look spiritual or have that, you know, label to it, I think is just the personality once again trying to appropriate this stuff. How we serve is how we're most fully expressed. The teacher teaching, the painter painting, the athlete running, whatever it may be, you know, the accountant adding up numbers who lives for numbers. My accountant's like that. I'm thrilled to have her, you know. She lives for numbers. It's joy for her. You know, she's expressing her true self in her work.
And as we start to wrap up the show, Paul, what would you say is your most challenging part of the work that you're doing right now?
You know, continue trying to keep up with it, truthfully. I mean, now they're a third of the way through their sixth book in 7 years, and I'm just sort of reeling because I still think I'm supposed to be showing up and teaching a bunch of college kids twice a week, and now I'm not. So I'm trying to keep up with this. It's still a new life for me in some ways, and I'm grateful that this is what's happened. And, you know, always the challenge is that I'm not the best student of the work. You know, I get what they're saying. I know it's true. Am I always able to keep up with it? No. Do I wish I had, you know, the perfect partner and the perfect body and, you know, all those things? Yes. You know, am I in my own way at times? Yes. So, you know, that's the hard part, is that I'm still having this very human experience here, and that I seem to be able to work at this level that I don't even fully understand myself. It's a little beyond me. I'm just grateful that it happens.
Well, and it ties into our positive affirmation for the month of August, where we talk about you don't have to be anyone but myself. Who I am is enough. And as we close the show, Paul, would your guides have any messages for our listening audience if they were to give us some insight for what's going on moving forward, if it's just one word or if it's some inspiration or just some knowledge that will help us get to some wisdom and enlightenment?
Let me see what I hear. They're saying ask everybody to know that they're safe, where they are, You are safe where you are. You are safe where you are in this life that you're living, in this life that you are living, in the claims you have made for yourself, and the claims you have made for yourself at this moment that have brought you to this moment of safety, You are safe where you are. You are safe where you are, and as you know this, and as you know this, you can begin to claim a life to this that will be in agreement to this, as we know, in ways that you may know, period. And they're saying period.
There's that period. I love it. Well, Paul, thank you so much for being on the show today. If there was one thing, is there one person or one thing that inspires you for the inspired listening audience out there?
What inspires me? Truth in any form that it takes, in whatever way it comes. You know, that's what inspires me.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much again for being on Inspired Living Radio today. Very humbled and honored that you came on to be a guest. And again, if you want to check out the beautiful work that Paul is doing, all of his channeled textbooks, his workshops, if you want to follow him on Facebook and see him traveling on an airplane, he always posts pictures when he's traveling on an airplane, and he always looks so enthused. So you can check all of his work at paulselig.com, and we'll have all the information on our Facebook page right now on Inspired Living Radio. You can get to all the links there. Thank you again, Paul, for being on Inspired Living Radio. We'll be back next week with our very special guest, Tori Hartman, talking about how to read the cards and yourself and others. This has been Inspired Living Radio here on OM Times. Be kind, be caring, be compassionate. Namaste.